Yes, I think I'm honored to once again join by legendary college basketball coach Phil Martelli. Phil, how you doing?
John, I'm doing terrific. Phillies are in the World Series, and the Eagles are undefeated. So how could I not be doing great?
Yes, I was about to ask you to keep my eye on the Phillies. They're in the World Series. The city is a lesser, I'm sure you know.
I'm well aware, and I will admit to maybe I've missed 5 or 10 pitches since September 1st. I have followed this team. I enjoy their the spirit that they have.
Yes.
And boy, are they representing the Philadelphia area with
yes.
with great joy.
Yes, they are. And they worked their way in. I've been following too. They worked their way in. It was a little bleak before the playoffs started, but they put it together. Everybody's coming together as a team, which has to be done.
No question about it. It's nice to see, and let's keep going now. Four more wins.
Yes, four more to go. Yes, the college season is approaching. The NBA just returned, and the college season is right behind it. How's it for you this time of the year? I'm thinking to myself to get back on the sidelines to do media.
Oh, yeah. It's a terrific time. One of the things in Division I that I think it's not underreported, but it's a theme, is that the NCAA did just such a terrific job of giving us, you know, hours with our team, not just when practice started on September 28th,
right.
But really we've been going most of the summer with our team. We were just having a discussion in our office about how much is too much, when do you rest them,
right?
And is that the reason that you see some injuries? So that is to be studied. But at this moment in time, that calendar is about to turn to November,
yeah.
And everybody knows that it's time to play with the scoreboard on, popcorn popping, fans in the stands.
Yes, no better time of the year, no better time. Leading up to the season comes off-season recruiting. Take us over your years of recruiting and the tenuous task that it is.
Well, I think that some people think it's a challenge. Your schedule or this, or you're always at games and things like that. I think every profession has a challenging moment.
Right.
I don't find recruiting to be a challenge. I think it's, you can get disappointed, but it's not about the recruiting as much as it's about the decisions. You know, a kid makes a decision, you put your heart and soul into it, and the kid makes a decision
right.
for what he thinks is best for his future. And if you boil it down, recruiting is it's a people business. It's a relationship business. And yes, you want to coach and you want to think about X's and O's and all that other stuff. But at the end of the day, John, it is our sport is a relationship sport. It's coach to coach. It's player coach to player. It's the people that are helping these young men, whether it's the people in the summertime,
right.
whether it's a sneaker deal. So if you enjoy people, you're going to enjoy recruiting. You're not always going to enjoy the results because
right.
you're not getting everybody. But there is a place for every young man and young lady to play college basketball, and let's hope that all of them find the right place for them.
Yes, definitely. For you, what goes into knowing if a player is the right fit for a program?
I think you have to really study, and I've always studied, who are they? If their sense is that they've made it because a Division I school is interested, if their sense is that they're playing for the me rather
right.
than the we,
okay.
It's not going to work. And I've always believed that what you're looking for is you're looking for a young person who, yes, respects the game.
Right.
They have to respect where they come from, and that's representing their family name first.
Right.
They also have to represent the players that have come before them at the programs that I've been involved with.
Right.
And they have to take on the challenge of leaving their mark for the players that will come after them. So I would always say, I want you to play and practice and present yourself in public.
Right.
So that there's guys out there that say, you know what, I want to be like him.
Right.
And that doesn't necessarily mean, you know, I want to be like Jameer Nelson because he played in the NBA, but I want to be like Jameer Nelson because of the way he carried himself. I want to be like Pat Carroll because of the way he carried himself. And I was always interested in young guys that wanted to take, quote, unquote, advantage of the remarkable opportunity, educational opportunity, social opportunity. You make friends for your whole life when you're in college.
Yes,
so why not? You know, don't come here to just be a basketball player. Come here to be a young person who is anxious to grow into a man.
Definitely. For you, well, the preseason rankings came out. Right now, you guys are 22nd, which I know that fluctuates every week. As a coach and coaching staff, do you guys pay attention to the preseason rankings a lot?
No, not really. And I don't mean that in a disrespectful way. I think those are wonderful conversation pieces
right.
for the fans. I think it gets some public interest now. In this world, John, every focus, every conversation in Ann Arbor, in the surrounding community, is football. And that's different than at St. Joseph's, where basketball was the the main sport. So I think it's a nice thing for fans of the game like you. You can start to get a – well, this is what they think, but if we're honest about it, it's what they think about last year's team because no one really knows. And in today's world,
right.
with the transfer market and all that kind of stuff,
right.
people really don't know. So it generates interest in the game at a time of the year where there's a lot of focus on other sports, rightfully so.
Right.
So at the end of the year, would we be satisfied if we were the 22nd best team in the country? No, because that means we fell short probably of the Sweet 16. And, you know, we want to make sure that everybody knows we've been to the Sweet 16 five straight years here at Michigan. So it's just a conversation piece at this point in time.
I understand. You touched on Jameer Nelson. Joe Norton was recently on my show that added Prince Eagleham again. And we talked about St. Joe's as a developmental player. And you did a phenomenal job at the time of St. Joe's developing players for the next level. And we both agreed that St. Joe's gets overlooked for that and being a great school that develops a lot of players and totally due partly to you. How do you go into developing players?
I think one of the ways that you develop them is that you ask them to take ownership.
Okay.
So you're talking with your players, communicating with your players, and you're trying to get them to communicate with what are your needs? What do you feel? What do you see in the game? And how can we help serve you? Right? I was always into serving the players. And if it was, you know what, I need somebody to be on my backside about my strength and conditioning, or I need a shooting workout.
Okay.
I think that the practice sessions have to continue to be player development sessions, and we're going to work on your individual game, and your individual growth will dramatically impact our team's success. So I think it goes back to recruiting. And
okay.
if, like I said, if a player comes in and has all the answers and feels like, well, you know what, I'm kind of just biding my time here,
Right.
Then it can't possibly work. And it did not work for me.
Okay. A balanced roster. You've had a lot of rosters over your years coaching. Sometimes you have some front court loaded, some back court loaded. Do you think there's a perfect balance to having a roster where you have to keep the defense on edge, on or two the whole game?
That's very interesting. I just did a national coaches clinic last night, and we talked about offense. And yeah. I said, what do you want to be? And, you know, the coaches were, well, I want to be really good on defense and really good on offense. And I said, well, let's just take it from the offensive side of the ball. What do you want to be? And I think that you said the word perfectly. I think every team out there, every good team,
right,
every team on the rise, you're looking for balance. So you're looking for balance, not just in scoring,
right,
but you're also looking for balance in terms of responsibilities on the floor.
Gotcha.
So how many players can start your offense? Right? Who are your best screeners? And do you have an offensive system that accents their strengths?
Right.
So the word that you use, John, is exactly the word that I would use. Cool. What I'm looking for is balance. I'm looking for balance within our team, that we have balanced skills, balanced responsibilities,
right,
and that we have practiced enough that you have the courage to take your shot. Whether you make or miss the last one, you have to have
right.
the courage to take the next one.
Definitely. Definitely. The importance of keeping positive team morale during a long season. As you know, seasons can be long. They can be losing mm-hmm. streaks, winning streaks. How is it important for everyone, the whole team, including coaching staff, to keep a positive outlook on the season?
Well, it comes from the coaching staff. Like the coaching staff has to come in, and even though the emotions and the season could be a roller coaster,
right,
you have to come in steady. You have to be able to identify what is important to you,
right,
and then you have to stick with that. So if communicating on the floor is important, stick with it. And you cannot ride the roller coaster and say, oh, we just came off a loss, so we have to scrap the whole system. We're
right.
We're not a man-to-man team. Now we're a zone team. The players will sense. The players will sense if the coach is in a panic.
Okay.
The players will always sense if the coach is in a panic. So stay true to who you are, and understand that the good times are temporary and the tough times are temporary.
Right.
But if we can stick to our core values, then we have a chance at the end of the year, which is what you want, at the end of the year,
right,
to let's be playing our best basketball.
Yeah, as we all know, you know very well, you get into the postseason, anything can happen. Once you get
Amen.
In, it's one and done.
Amen. Amen. Just give me a chance.
Yes.
Just give me a chance.
Yes, a lot of teams are taking that chance and ran with it. Performing very well on that big stage where it counts.
Yes,
definitely.
Sir.
Definitely. Your process of preparing for an upcoming game, it switches every game, obviously, for who you're playing and what you have to defend against. How do you go into that process? And if some teams give you bigger headaches?
Well, I think that the process of preparing for these early season games is tough because, you know, teams are new. They may
right.
be trying new systems. But what you want to do first and foremost is get your system down.
Gotcha.
Be able to say, this is the way that we're going. This is how we can be successful this year. And
right.
then you still do your film study,
right.
still do all of your preparations. But at this moment in time, John, it's a lot more about your team preparing your team than it is preparing for an opponent.
Okay.
When you get into a season, when you get into a Villanova game, well, that's different because you now have a little bit of a track record. You have some statistical evaluations that you can do. I'm not talking about analytics. You know me. I'm not an analytic guy.
Right.
But
right.
You right now, at this moment in time, you spend an awful lot of time preparing to get your team better each and every day, as opposed to the real in-depth scouting report that will evolve when you get into Big Ten play.
Gotcha. That's what I understand. And your one friend, Duffy, recently got honored at the American Cancer Society. Congrats on that. How's that experience for you?
Well, we are really the figureheads.
Right.
The heroes in the Coaches versus Cancer fight are all those people that dig into their pocket and donate $1 or $100 or $1,000.
Awesome.
They're the young kids who are out there selling balloons to promote not just beating cancer, John. It's about crushing cancer.
Right.
So it was certainly an honor. And any time that I could be recognized along with Fran Dunphy, I consider that a very, very, very special day. So to get back to Philadelphia and have a chance to be with my family real quick,
I'm thankful.
I'm thankful to all of those heroes, and that's what they are, all of those heroes who have donated and attended Coaches versus Cancer events.
Right.
And, you know, calling it frankly, they've made me look good and they made Fran look good. But we will accept it on behalf of all those people that are heroes,
right,
and all those people who have been so unjustly affected by this rotten disease. But let's keep going. We're not done, and we will continue to do everything in our power to crush cancer.
Yes. So before I started my outlet NB panel, I followed you in St. Louis, and you always done positive things in your life and around the team. Even before I was able to meet you and gradually get to the point where we are now, where we're basically friends, which I appreciate. Appreciate the time every time you're on and the things you do outside of basketball.
Well, that means a great deal to me. So relationships and memories are more important than wins and losses. So thank you. Thank you for your friendship.
Thank you, too. Phil, always a pleasure. We had a long day. Hope to see you guys in Houston for the Final Four.
That would be great.
Good luck for the season. Good luck.
I thank you. All right. Take care.
You, too. Always
Bye.
A pleasure.
Bye now.
Yes, that was legendary college basketball coach Phil Martelli once again joining me. Catch you next time.